the vast majority of men and women suffer from what we now call the fear of being fabulous. That's right, the fear of being fabulous. The fear of being truly out there, expressing yourself freely, being successful in whatever ways matter to you, standing apart from others, breaking free from demands, whether they come from your family, your society, your church, your neighborhood, it doesn't matter where, but breaking free of any demands that have held you back from feeling comfortable being you. And on the other side of that fear, you get to be free to be fabulous.
Now, the idea of breaking free of demands can be very scary for some people and kind of exciting for others. And as we go through this hour, we will illuminate those demands and what we're talking about. And I think you'll see clearly that what Judith is referring to as breaking free of the demands, regardless of where they come from, is really, really essential to becoming the full person that you can be. And when you enjoy the freedom to be fabulous, you'll get to enjoy self-confidence to be who you really are. No pretense and no holding back. And you'll enjoy the comfort of asking for what you want. So many people don't ask for what they want, even if they know what they want. And of course, there's the other side of it, and that is many, many people don't really know what they want. Also, you can enjoy the energy and the excitement as you go after your desires, whether they're in your career or creativity or love life, health and fitness or your spiritual pursuits. Whatever your passion is directing you and driving you toward, you will have the energy and excitement to go after that. And finally, well, not finally in some conclusive sense, but finally in the list that we're presenting tonight, you will be able to fully receive what comes to you. That is really critical because many people are emotionally and spiritually starved, not because there isn't a supply and an abundance around them, but because they can't take it in and receive it. And we say that we assure you on the other side of the fear of being fabulous, in other words, when you are free to be fabulous, you will be able to fully receive what comes to you, knowing not only that you deserve it, but it is rightful, and it is exactly what should be happening in the moment that you're taking it in.
Now, toward the end of this one-hour program, we're going to go into a lot more detail about how you can enjoy the freedom to be fabulous. But to start off, we want to help you understand the number one biggest enemy to living free to be fabulous. Number one, deeper than any fears or anxiety that you may have, more powerful than depression, and really more compelling than any indecision or self-doubt that you may struggle with. What is that number one biggest enemy to your freedom to be fabulous? It's that strange, sweet sadness. That's what we call it. That strange, sweet sadness that keeps drawing you back, drawing you down, drawing you away from the life that you were meant to live. The life, that fabulous life, that would bring you joy and full self-expression every day. And what is that strange, sweet sadness?
Well, that description may not fit your experience exactly. We found that a majority of men and women we've surveyed, and this goes back over the last 20 years and internationally, they acknowledge that when they were growing up and things got tough in their family, at school, with their friends, or even later in their dating experiences, and in some cases even later than that in their marriage experiences, and we've spoken with people who are as young as 18 and as old as 70 and 80, they're saying that they admit that they comforted themselves when the going got tough, when it was inexplicable, when it was baffling, when people were putting them down, when they felt the pressure that they couldn't be fully who they were because who they were was not acceptable to those around them. They comforted themselves by withdrawing into that strange, sweet sadness. And as adults, when times are going tough, or even for that matter, just disappointing, that strange, sweet sadness jumps right up and enswaddles you and it takes you over again, and we say again because it's been there for a long, long time, and we'll get into some of that. And it provides the most basic but the most primitive comfort that you can know about. And we, Judith and I, we both experienced this many times and in many ways, and it can still, on occasion, jump up and take over. It can take us over.
And it is so comfortable. It is so seductive because it's so old in our lives. It was such a good friend when we needed it, when we were young, when we were little and helpless, and we needed some kind of comfort. And the only comfort that we could create for ourselves was, as Jim said, what we call the strange, sweet sadness. Now, to make tonight's program more experiential for you, please take a moment right now and think back to all the times you comforted yourself when you were growing up with some version of that strange, sweet sadness. Let it come back to you, however you recognize it, whatever it was like for you. Recognize that you needed some comfort that only you were able to give yourself when you were little and things weren't going as well as you would have hoped. Because when you're a small child, you know, you have to go along with what's going on in your family, even though it may not be the greatest. And you do need some comfort. Now, also, what about when you're an adult? All these years that you've been a grown-up, think about the times that you've fallen into that same emotional well since you've been adult. Now, we're not asking for a numerical answer here. We're talking about that deep misery that calls to you as if it's your true home whenever life throws you a tough time. To be able to be free to be fabulous, here's what you must do.
Now, we refer back to childhood and earlier in our lives because what was clear to us is that the complex, the elements, the block that prevents us from being free to be fabulous is really primitive. And we mean primitive psychologically, and as a consequence, it's hard to spot. If it were not as primitive, if it were more sophisticated, we might spot it rationally. But this is often pre-rational, even pre-verbal. So what it does is it sets up conflicting intentions. It's what we call the emotional war of two worlds. The one world is this primitive, unconscious material that is strong and, as we say, sometimes feeling sweet and comfortable, and the rational side of you that is adult and grown and saying to yourself, I don't understand why this keeps happening. I mean, I don't want it to happen. I've made plans for it not to happen. I go forward, and there it is again. I don't understand this. You have a conflict between the world, the primitive world that you grew up in and still is there unconsciously, and it has these grips on you, what we call holdbacks and roadblocks, and that world is in conflict with the world of your true future, where you get to be joyous and free and fully who you are. We call that the emotional war of two worlds, and we have found it present in anyone and everyone we've ever worked with. Some people call it conflicting intentions, but that's a little sophisticated. The war of two worlds is what is really going on, and if any of you are familiar with what we're talking about, then you understand not only this war of two worlds, you understand the comfort that the sweet, strange sadness, or however you experience it, brings you when you have to withdraw from that combat because it is out of your control.
And you may also know about this conflict in the realm of spiritual consciousness, in becoming more awakened and more aware of your true life, your true self, your true soul, compared with things that you were taught about yourself and about your life that simply were not true. Certainly any number of times in our voyage, Jim's and mine, into the life where we are now, we have had to fight those old unconscious forces that have wanted to prevent us from the freedom to be fabulous. Neither Jim nor I grew up in a family that was really encouraging, certainly of our being alive and full in the largeness that we could be. And we've had to fight that war of two worlds. And we've had to question whether the people around us were truly in support of our journey to be free, or whether they were reinforcing negative messages from our early years, because that's all a process of becoming more conscious, more discerning, and enjoying the freedom to be fabulous on your own terms. So as Mark Twain said, keep away from people who try to belittle your ambitions. The really great people, they make you feel that you too can become great. But Twain didn't say how to identify those people who belittle your ambitions.
So we're going to provide a handy checklist to guide you in protecting yourself from those people who consciously or unconsciously want to hold you back and even bring you down in any area of your life. And by the way, you are also one of those people in certain ways, and so you have to be aware of the primitive allegiances and loyalties that you have that are unconscious, that are asking you not to move forward. But we'll get into more detail about that as we go along. Before we do, we'll prepare you to take a close look at how you can spot these instances, those people, the feelings and thoughts that arise from within you that don't truly have your best interests at heart. Now, this sounds a little complicated because we're saying you don't have your best interests at heart. And in a way, that's not true. You always do have your best interests at heart, but sometimes those interests have been given away to the interests that others have for you, and they may not have your best interests at heart. And we've all had the experience of feeling like we've given ourselves away. That's what we're talking about. So you might think that spotting those people, those internal feelings, those thoughts and ideas might be simple. But that ignores the pervasive and commonplace abusive behavior that's practiced all around the world. In the world, there is a pervasive and commonplace abuse that takes place. If you doubt this, we're going to give you some ways to take a look at it. And even if you don't doubt it, we're going to open your consciousness to see what it is that's going on, and for the moment, what parades itself around in the media.
And when you can become more and more aware of these commonplace examples of emotional abuse, even sometimes physical abuse, but we're more concerned for this program about the emotional instances where people are not in support of you. So first take a look at what happens, as Jim said, in the media. Pay attention to all the TV commercials that center around men being put down by women, or women who are being put down by men. Think about the sitcoms with key characters who are routinely the butt of jokes, or they're set up to take a fall over and over. Stand-up comedy. How often do you see stand-up comedy that's based on hostile characterizations, hostile, nasty characterizations of events, individuals, behaviors, groups of people? And then there are advice shows. They're set up to give you good psychological advice, and yet the radio callers or the TV guests receive dictatorial demands, and when they don't immediately agree with the host, they get the brush off. Then there are religious shows dominated by angry ministers who threaten their viewers, their congregation, with hell and damnation. News shows that are little more than a showcase for the host's abrasive attitudes and personal vendettas instead of actual news service.
And it's easy to point to the media, because in fact, the media is filled with it. But how about in real life, in ordinary daily life? How many times have you ever seen a child mistreated by an adult on a city street? Or in the aisle at the supermarket? I know I have, and it's always a conflict as to whether I should go and do something about it or not. Generally, I don't, and it's not because I'm cowardly. It's because I know that if I do interfere and get involved, it's likely that the child will be punished for that even more severely after my involvement passes. We could go on and on with these examples, but having said all of that, and since we all still live in this world, which is literally consumed by abuse and violence, it can be very easy to ignore the subtle dig from your buddy, for example, or the snicker from your dad, or your mother, or your brother or sister. How about the no-show from your best friend at some event that you wanted that friend to show up at? And the no-show isn't merely that he or she doesn't show up. It's a no-show with no explanation. And sometimes, when challenged or asked, why haven't you shown up, then it's the response is defensive. All of that is in one way or another telling you that who you are and what you want somehow warrants being belittled or put down or squashed or suppressed, and it happens all of the time. So in the context of the freedom to be fabulous, there is a lot of pressure to be precisely not fabulous. In other words, to conform and be whatever it is that others want and demand of you to be.
That's why we have put forward this information, because in order for you to enjoy the freedom to be fabulous, you have to be clear about various elements that can block your excellence if you buy into these cultural norms that do not support excellence, that do not support you being fabulous. So, again, we want you to get involved personally in what we are talking about so that you're not just listening and we're just talking. But consider, when you think about these examples that we just gave in the media, what comes to mind in your experience? Or maybe the example that Jim gave in everyday life. What comes to mind that you see around you of different kinds of abuse that you see or that you're noticing happens inside your own mind? Perhaps you suffer from what we call negative head talk, where you yammer at yourself. Boy, I've certainly experienced some myself. Jim certainly has. Everybody we've ever worked with has. Where your own little mind just starts yapping at you about how you didn't do it perfectly enough and how you're procrastinating and what's wrong with you and why aren't you like the neighbors and on and on. That's abuse. And in order to enjoy the freedom to be fabulous, we have to. We have to overcome and get rid of that abuse. That's why we call it the War of Two Worlds. And you have to win. We are doing this presentation to support you in winning so that the fabulous you will always win. So to expand your awareness, pay attention all the time to anything that wants to put you down or somebody else is getting put down, because we want you to make sure that you are not tolerating anything that is sabotaging your future by allowing undetected mistreatment. A couple of years ago, we were guests on a television show in Albany, and the guest before us was a psychologist who specialized in serious emotional illness. This is a summary of her message. She said, 40% of adults in the United States, now she was only referring to the United States, but we would hazard a guess that this is certainly true in Canada and perhaps around the world, 40% of adults in the United States suffer from some form of serious emotional disturbance. She said most of them are fully functioning, meaning that they hold down jobs, they get married, and they have children. But they have serious problems handling certain issues in their relationships. She went on to say that the mistake that most people make is that they assume that everyone is sane and caring. And then they expect that kind of treatment. But when it doesn't happen, they're baffled, they don't know what's going on, because they don't understand that 40% of people suffer from some kinds of serious emotional disturbance. And it's not that these 40% are malicious. They can mistreat you because they feel seriously deficient. They can feel very envious and deeply threatened when friends or family members or colleagues at work are doing better than they are. So we say this so that you understand that they unconsciously feel the need to pull you down if you are the person who is getting ahead faster than they are. They can shoot you with, you know, little digs, barb you with little, they call them jokes, but they're never jokes, jokes at your expense. Well, you know, that doesn't feel good. And they'll fail to support your ambitions, and they'll give you passing comments about how you're not good enough to get that raise or, you know, or get that cute guy or whatever.
Okay. It's important that in listening to us, you not just listen, but you participate. And we've asked you to bring to mind times when you yourself suffered, for example, from that strange, sweet sadness. Well, we're going to do this again. We're going to ask you to bring to mind and look around your own life. Now, this gets a little more personal. And actually, a little more, we're going to dig a little deeper. look around in your own life and look around for those who support you, those who don't. Those are the easy categories. But see and look around in your own life for those who say they support you and in fact they don't. Because that's the category that's the most difficult to identify. Now, who makes you feel uneasy? Even if it's just once in a while and even if you don't know why. Who blames you? Seriously, perhaps with aggression, or flippantly, or maybe jokingly, and never blames themselves, particularly when things get mixed up or become troublesome. And who always celebrates your success, really celebrates your success, so that in their presence you feel full when the exchange with them is complete. And who's consistently watching your back? In other words, who loves you, truly loves you, for who you really are? Pay close attention, because the freedom to be fabulous hinges on your ability to be able to see with whom and how you could actually be as expansive as is possible.
So to continue to help you with your internal process, and so you can stay more alert every day to how you're being treated by anyone, whether it's outside of yourself, family members, friends, acquaintances, people you've just met, or inside yourself, because we really have to pay attention to whenever we block our own freedom to be fabulous, we want you to get in the habit of answering the following questions in each and every interaction that you have. Now, that's going to take practice, so you might want to jot down these categories. Number one, is the other person sincerely interested in you? Are you sincerely interested in you? Or are you always interested in everybody else but not paying attention to you? On the other hand, does the other person constantly hog the conversation, talking on and on, only about themselves and who they know?
Okay, number two. Does the other person, the person you're thinking about or the person you're imagining, ask you about your life? Simple question. Do they ask you about how you are and how things are going on, about your interests and goals? And when they ask you, are they sincere in really wanting to know, or is it just formal? Because when it's formal, all that means is that they're just waiting their turn to get their chance to speak. So, does the other person ask you about you? Now, does the other person joke around or complain or obsess about the news or gossip, never developing any connection with you? Because in that case, you're just there as a prop for their own psychological needs. These are really, really important questions. And if you take them seriously, you will see that you may be surrounded by, with internally as well as externally, a false sense of connection, and that may be the source of why you feel boxed in and not free to be fully who you are.
And we just want to underscore that we've never met anybody yet in our entire lives that didn't at some point feel pretty boxed in their lives in some area of their life. So this isn't that you're weird or odd or strange, quite the contrary. This is something that's going on universally. And that's why it's difficult sometimes to feel you have support to get out of that box. That's why these kinds of group teleconferences are so important, so that we can all put out support for the freedom to be fabulous. So the next question you want to entertain when you're dealing with other people is, does the other person encourage you to move forward in your life? Yeah, of course, we must look at, are you supporting yourself? Are you encouraging yourself to move forward in your life? And when it comes to other people, does the other person put you down when you mention a new goal or make a joke when you say you desire to live your life differently? You know, it's just so much pressure if you've got people like that around you to stay the same, to make yourself small, to live a lie, and it feels terrible.
Another question you need to ask is, does the other person, whomever it is you're thinking about, or many other people for that matter, does the other person enjoy and reinforce your unique self-expression? Judith is really has a talent as an artist, as a painter, which she's never developed. She once told me that when she was in primary school, she was given an exercise. She was a child and was given an exercise to do some art, some painting of some kind or another, some drawing. And she painted a cow purple. She painted a cow purple. Now, if any of you know the painter Chagall, Marc Chagall, the French painter, he painted cows purple all the time. But Judith painted this cow purple, and the instructor said, "That's wrong. Cows are not purple." And basically told Judith that who she was in that moment of unique expression was wrong and get back into line. So, does the other person enjoy and reinforce your unique self-expression? Does the negative mind chatter that goes on in your head support your own unique expression? Or does it say things like, "Oh, that's just too weird. Nobody's going to get that." Or "That's really, really out there. You know, nobody's going to understand you. As a matter of fact, they're going to laugh at you." Or here's the other side of that same question. Does the other person insist that you behave in only certain ways, trying to control you and make you fit within the group, the family, the girls club, the boys club, whatever? Does the other person really and truly embrace and celebrate your unique expression of who you are?
Now, when you are moving forward, do you get support? Do you get creative help? Are you encouraged by the people around you? Whether it doesn't matter whether it's your career, creativity, health, or love life, it doesn't matter what it is. I was thinking, Jim, about when you were learning to drive and your dad was in the back seat and you sort of lurched across the street trying to learn the stick shift and your dad made a joke at your expense. That's not supportive. Nobody knows how to drive a stick shift right away. You have to learn. You have to lurch around. I remember the first time I tried it, my goodness, you'd think I was a grasshopper. On the other hand, does somebody really encourage you, support you, give you suggestions to how you can create a larger career or find the love of your life in a better way? That's the person who loves you, the person who is really helping you open to the freedom to be who you really are. So you want to avoid people who are putting you down or just, and you know, those people who say, "I'm just teasing." No, no, no. Stay away from anybody who wants to dismiss your desires or goals or the excitement that you are enjoying.
Now I'm going to ask you all a question. And the answer, it doesn't pertain to all of you. But I'm going to ask you a question. And I'm going to ask you to check yourself out right now. And the question is, do you have any resistance, any dismissal, any serious rejection of what we're saying, and particularly when we say it about that time in our lives when we are young? Check yourself out, because many, many people do. So if you do, you're not alone. But why do we refer to those times as much as we do? Because as you grow older and your power of discernment develops and your practice of reason develops, you actually have the tools, to some degree, of being able to see and discriminate what's around you and what you're doing inside your own self, to be able to make choices that are often for your well-being in a way that's much better than they were before that capacity to discern. And the problem, as I said before, is that when these feelings are set into place and they are primitive, psychologically primitive, they are far more powerful because they're harder to spot because they're unconscious. And they occur largely before the development of our capacity to discern and reason. And that's why we refer to them so often. Not because we just focus on that time of life, but there's a reason for it. So if you feel at this point any resistance to what we're saying, and you might have a good argument, we could have a discussion, and we're going to ask for questions later, but if you feel any resistance, check yourself out, because we guarantee that in most instances, that resistance is a loyalty to staying in place rather than seeing things for what they are and moving forward. So here's another question for you. Does the other person celebrate your success? We have all had that opportunity or that instance where we see somebody who's celebrating our success or claiming they are, and we can't believe their smile or we can't believe their eyes. Does the other person truly, truly enjoy your expansive growth? Or does the other person suffer from envy when you stand out? And there is a serious, serious global epidemic, psychological epidemic of envy when people try to move forward and the others around them, for one reason or another, and there are many reasons, try to hold them back. You can call it envy, you can call it a lot of things, but it's just, the mechanics of it is, don't go forward, we can't permit you to go forward. Happens all the time.
So bottom line, does the other person truly care for you as you really are? In your magnificence, in your unique, one-of-a-kind self that is you, unlike anybody else on the planet, do they truly care for you, respect you, encourage you, support you? That's the bottom line question. And when you pay attention to how you are actually treated, without the need to excuse or overlook bad behavior, you can then take yourself into a mode of self-protective action. Because after all, you're the only one who can save yourself from the life-draining, depression-making influence of those who may claim that they want your best, that what they're saying is for your own good. But instead, when you're around them, somehow you just feel put down or pulled down or drained of energy. Something's not right. And the more you can pay attention to it, the more you can distance yourself from it, the more you become free to be fabulous. Because in order to live with a freedom to be fabulous, you must take care of yourself by managing your own self-protection with grace and with calm determination.
Now, freedom to be fabulous, there's an irony here. The freedom to be fabulous is not free. As Judith said, you have to take care of yourself. You have to be alert. You have to be vigilant so that you can live fully who you are and surround yourself with those who will support who you are. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to stay away from people who have less than your best interest at heart, because you know what? That's impossible unless you live in some secluded cabin in the North Woods, and if you do that, then that is in contradiction to your fullness to be fabulous. So what we're talking about is your reasoned, rational, and emotionally supportive choices to surround yourself with those who actually support you and who you want to spend time with, because they bless your success, they enjoy your self-expression.
Now, that determination to take good care of yourself is going to push you to grow your ability to put yourself forward out there on your own terms. Really, bottom line, that's what being free to be fabulous is all about. So how do you do it? You can't just snap your fingers and change your mind. So before we get into some specifics about how you do it, we would like to open the arena here for you to unmute yourself and ask a question or make a comment.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is fabulous. I just think you both are so wonderful, and I look forward to doing more work with you.
Thank you.
I have a question. It was coming up pretty strongly. I have an aunt that I'm very close to, and I spend time calling her a lot and I can tell she doesn't, she always has to one-up me.
Ooh.
And I'm like the only person in the family that'll even talk to her, and I kind of feel bad if I wouldn't talk to her. So what should I do?
Well, there are a couple things that you can do, and we certainly appreciate your compassion for your aunt. Also, really want to reinforce that it's terrific that you are spotting that she always wants it to be one-up. Two things. One, you can limit the amount of time that you speak with her, and you can, you know, find a gracious way of saying that you have limited time, whatever your projects are, whatever you're involved in your life. And two, what we recommend in that kind of instance is to, and often this is the case even with people's parents sometimes, that you guide the conversation and direct her by asking her questions about things in her past that you sincerely have an interest in, where she doesn't really have the opportunity, you know, to compete with you or compare herself with you, but where you can actually engage her in something you'd sincerely like to know about when she was a girl, when she was a teenager, whatever it might be, that she would love to tell you all about, but would avoid her trying to compete with you.
Here's another option for you. Her need to one-up can be coming from one of two sources. She can be a truly competitive person, and there are those people who are truly, truly competitive. They cannot bear losing. And if that's the case, you can ask her about that and ask her what it is, not necessarily that she's struggling against. I don't mean to get all psychological about it, but just enjoy the fact that that's who she is. Or the other option is that her need to go one-up is coming out of some deep insecurity, in which case, if you open your heart and you understand that with compassion, that heart opening will lead you to carry on a conversation that will not put you in a situation where you are in any way made to feel less than in conversation with her. So the large thing here is to embrace her, knowing who she is, even though sometimes you know you're going to get bitten. Does that answer at all?
Yeah, it's right on target.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Anybody else have a question, comment? Okay.
All right, well, we'll go on.
Yes.
And you'll have another opportunity before we're completely finished if you have questions coming up or comments. We know this is very personal material, so we're also respectful if you do not want to make public a question or comment that you have. So living a fabulous life, being free to enjoy that fabulous life, how do you do it? As we said, you can't just snap your fingers and change your mind. So we want to lay out 9 specific steps that will help you move along in your journey to a free and fabulous life. First, you have to identify the areas in your life where you feel held back. Don't just take them for granted. Anywhere where you feel frustrated, anxious, depressed, or perhaps you're angry and envious yourself of what others have that you don't. Identify those areas. You may want to write them down, but keep track that these areas are showing you where you're blocked and where you need to break free.
Then, number 2, you have to truly be committed to having your own life, to own your own life. And that's only an expression because we don't own our lives. We live our lives. You have to be truly committed to your own life as your own creation. Now, no one is isolated to the point where it's only your creation, because we're always in relationship and they're always impacting who and how we are. But you have to be truly committed to have your own life as your own creation rather than do what some people demand of you or people are still asking of you or you're stuck in it because it's what you were taught. You have to open up the possibility, because in order to be fabulous, you're going to have to move beyond where you are now to one degree or another.
Now, third, and this is also critical. Well, every step is critical, of course, but this is essential. You need to be willing to dig down into the lies. And we're being very straight here. To dig down into the lies, L-I-E-S, lies that you were told about who you are, and what the world is like out there, and what other people are about. Because we don't know anybody on this planet that wasn't given some information in your early formative years about how you can't trust so-and-so, and how you have to remain such-and-such, and how you have to play yourself down, and who do you think you are, and don't get so big, and, you know, you're too big for your britches, and on and on and on. Those are lies. Because guaranteed, in all the areas that you're feeling held back, you are suffering under the burden of old stuff that's not true, but it's still buried in your unconscious. Now, once you're clear that you've been trapped in beliefs that have not been in your best interest, what we're saying are lies, it is time to break free. Absolutely time for you to break free so you can enjoy the freedom to be fabulous.
Okay, so how do you do that? Well, here's how. Every time you get trapped in your old ways, and by old ways, we don't mean that you have to abandon everything that you have valued. We're only talking about those points in your existence where you feel trapped and you can't move forward, or you feel envious of others or befuddled by why your life isn't going in the way that you want. You are trapped in old ways. You have to look back to see where and who drilled something into you, a limiting idea into your unconscious. That is absolutely critical. Every time you get trapped in your old ways, please pay attention, because in fact the traps are your way out, as paradoxical as that sounds, because when you pay attention to them, they will lead to the fixations and the allegiances and the loyalties that are happening unconsciously that keep that same behavior going on and on and on. Therein is where you must look in order to find your freedom.
And then make a commitment to yourself that you will definitely take one step forward, no matter how small or how large the step might be, one step forward where you can experience at least a tiny triumph over that old, stuck holdback. And it doesn't matter if you have success out in the world when you make that step. That's not the issue. The fact is that you took the step to break out. That is your success.
And one of those steps may be just saying, I won't do that. And then you ask yourself, well, what will I do instead? And your answer may be, I have no idea. I just know I'm not going to do that anymore. And if you're willing to make that choice, the mere stopping, the mere conscious stopping of a behavior will begin to unroot, will begin to uproot and uncover the sources of that behavior. So you just say to yourself, no, I won't do that. And then don't force yourself to do anything else if you don't know what to do. Just say, no, I won't do that, and effectively stand there and see what's going to happen next. Now, number 7.
It doesn't matter if you experience what we would all agree is a kind of success out in the world. It's the stepping forward that counts the most, so that you are pushing yourself to break free of the past. That's the success that has to count first.
So then, you build your freedom step by step and celebrate each step along the way. You cannot get the big successes. You cannot have the big celebrations without the little celebrations. It is a consecutive and cumulative process. And then the question is, how do you know when you're being free to be fabulous?
All right. We're now going to lay out a few steps about how you recognize the freedom to be fabulous.
And this point has a number of components. So if you're taking notes, please be aware, because when you experience what we're about to talk about, even momentarily, you'll know that you are on the other side of the fear of being fabulous and into the freedom to be fabulous, even if you may fall back and forth.
Number 1, your life becomes more and more effortless. There's less and less struggle and more lighthearted freedom.
You can make large goals. You can determine and commit to large goals, and you know that you'll accomplish them. And believe me, trust us when we say you will know that you will be able to accomplish it, because the fabulousness is there as your support. And speaking of support, you will get support from people all around you who see your magnificence and want to see you succeed. And there are those people out there, and it's like night and day given where you are now on this side of what we call the fear of being fabulous, and the people who inhabit that domain, and the people on the other side are what we call the freedom to be fabulous, and the people who inhabit that domain.
So just to reiterate, number two is you'll have those large goals that you'll know you're going to accomplish. And number three is you get all that great support coming to you. Number four, you will find your heart opening more and more, allowing more love in and giving more love out. And number five, when you are no longer burdened by those old inner put-downs, that negative mind chatter that sounds like the truth but it never was, then each day you'll realize it's a discovery. You don't have to accomplish an exact specific thing to enjoy freedom. Every day becomes a discovery that's fun and fascinating.
And this is really a big one. When you are feeling free to be fabulous, there is no fear of failure whatsoever. Now, check yourself out. No fear of failure whatsoever. Are you feeling any kind of resistance? Are you saying, are you kidding me? Well, here's why. Because when you are on the freedom side to be fabulous, you know that life is not a matter of failing and succeeding. It's really about testing and developing and emerging. And if you try something and it doesn't go the way you had planned, that's not a failure. That's a learning that takes you to the next step. And one way to say it is, if you're crossing a stream, you only step on those stones in the stream that light up. And when they do, you may slip off of one now and again, but you pick yourself up and you keep going forward, because it's not a failure. It's merely the experience of the moment.
And we want to reiterate that the reason that we reviewed those issues about abuse in the world and around you and wanted you to know how to identify people who aren't in full throttle support of you, because the more magnificent you become, the more freedom that you show to everyone around you, that you have that willingness and openness to be exactly who you are, some people aren't going to be happy. They may put you down, they may be envious, and you need to be clear that your priority is you. So when you have the freedom to be fabulous, your first priority is you, not at anyone else's expense, no, never, but that you are always devoted to becoming more and more free to be fabulous as you, who you really are. We urge you to make a deep and sincere commitment to being free to be fabulous in your own right, on your own terms, every day. And we promise you, the joy and the effortless thrill of being alive is priceless. It is totally priceless. And you can have that freedom. Yes, you can. We know, because we have for ourselves, we can assure you the journey is worth it every single day.